The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
A movie where Sean Connery is stronger than 48 million bullets out of a Tommy gun.
The movie where the nerdy guy from American Graffiti is way tougher than both Annie Garcia and Kevin Costner.
And the only movie where the Canadians shoot first.
This is Untouchables on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin. I'm
Peterson. Emma's still struggling with that name.
Having a hard time with the name.
Took a couple weeks off, still struggling.
Still struggling.
And we're joined with a special new guest for this episode. It's Nerdy Nick himself.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Introduce yourself, sir.
So, my name's Nick Castro, a.k.a. Nerdy Nick, Tucson native, born and raised, proud of it. Whoop, whoop!
All right, that was a good introduction. That was good. That's probably
it was either a good introduction or like a juggalo call, but
either you'll way. You'll never know. Yeah.
Usually it's like weird, awkward introductions like, oh, yeah, I'm out, me, and I'm a friend.
Yeah, hi.
I don't want to call out any names or anything. Emma.
Tricky. Yeah.
So this is the podcast where we're counting down the top 105 grossing movies of the 1980s. We're reviewing them one by one. We get real drunk while watching the movie and even drunker while recording. And because of that, we make a lot of bad and sometimes very inappropriate jokes.
Yeah, not for the easily offended, I'd say.
I'd say indeed. Or, I don't know, people like to be outraged, so...
Yeah, all publicity is good publicity.
That's right.
Yeah. This is not your family-friendly podcast.
No, we're going to curse a lot. A lot. Yeah.
Unless you're raising your children right, and then it is.
That's true, then it's a bad best podcast. I said the bed podcast.
Yeah, it is the bed podcast because this is how you put your children to bed or you put your loved ones to bed, if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Get you in the mood with some comedy.
It's like 15 years from now, there's going to be a kid, a guy that's going to be like, hey, you know, when I was little, my dad used to just put these fucking headphones on me and there's a bunch of drunken dudes talking about movies I've never heard of. And we'll never know. Then I would fall asleep to them and have fever dreams of them like telling me about fucking Private Benjamin.
So pretty soon it all blended together.
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn was in Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It was 105 movies and one movie. Which actually sounds pretty badass.
Yeah.
I'd say somebody edit all 105 top of these movies into one movie.
And we'll watch that.
That's
and review
like a
it.
Wayans movie, though.
Or like Super Smash Bros. Of the 1980s.
Yeah, just fighting each other.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just like Kevin Costner shoots somebody, but then the opposite shot, somebody on a beach getting shot.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Kurt Russell pops out from like Little China.
Yeah, exactly.
Writes
yeah.
checks.
Yeah. Actually, how have they not done that video game? How have they not done the fighting game where it's all just 80s action
no
stuff?
No shit. Right. What?
That game.
That should
be
a real video
incredible.
Game.
Yeah. And then like
petition.
Marty McFly and Doc are basically like Rick and Morty.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, yeah, it's like Marvel versus Capcom where you get to call in like a support guy.
Yeah.
And that's Marty McFly's fighting. And then Doc comes in. Support
He's like,
guy.
Whoa, this is heavy, Doc.
And then, yeah.
Yeah.
And Doc comes in with like giant speakers and the guitar that Marty McFly strums and bam.
Right.
Straight
Lots
through
of
the
Huey
wall.
Lewis. Yeah.
Great
Tons
Scott.
Of Huey Lewis.
All the,
their fatality.
Back in time, Huey Lewis.
Their fatality is just they get in the DeLorean, go back in time and kill like baby Stallone. Like that's.
You're fighting Rocky and you go back in time and kill baby Stallone, Rocky. Yeah.
But it's like Mortal Kombat X style where it like slow-mo and then it's like X-ray
cutting the baby
vision,
in half.
Like break.
Yeah.
It's the most violent game I ever fucking played. Ever. But I did get to kill Reagan at some point, so that was cool.
Reagan's just in the game for no reason.
The Gipper, like we
or he's like the what was the main guy in Mortal Kombat, like the big bad at the end?
Shao Tsung.
Yeah, he's like Reagan, it's the 80s.
Or Shang Tsung. Because it's the 80s,
and there was a whole like anti-drug, anti-violence thing going on at the time. So that makes sense that Reagan would and Nancy Reagan would be like the top villains.
Yep. Nancy Reagan has four arms, and
Reagan is just like an old wizardy dude, and then Nancy Reagan's like this giant monster giant with like four arms,
Goro monster,
a scorpion tail for some reason, just like in real life.
Ice. Yeah, just like. Yeah.
Just like in real life.
Yeah, he's like, you're not getting these drugs past me.
Oh, Gipper. Yeah. Anyway, this week we're talking about Untouchables, if you did not know that already from our talk about video games.
Right, yes. So, Untouchables 1987.
1987 made $76.27 million.
Yeah, not bad at all. This is Brian De Palma. This is a David Mamet script. All-star cast. You got Kevin Costner at kind of the height of Kevin Costner-ness.
Yeah, it was kind of like the movie. It was like, who can we get in to bring in all the awards? Well, let's bring in David Mamet. Let's bring in Brian De Palma. Let's bring in Kevin Costner.
Right.
And
Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Sean Connery.
Let's bring in all the best stars for this fucking movie. And rightly so, I think.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I know maybe you guys had some problems with it.
I did.
Well, I mean, you got a high-profile villain, so you got to have a high-profile cast.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You're trying to get anyone to Al Capone.
Exactly. You can't just bring in like some nobody to play Al Capone.
Yeah, once they had Robert De Niro, I feel like everybody just fell in line. Everybody was like, Robert De Niro's playing Al Capone? Yeah, fuck yeah, I'll do that, no matter who they asked. Yeah.
And then there was Andy Garcia.
I would have been pretty happy with Paul Rubens, though, in the cast somewhere in there. Just to bring some
comic.
Just a little
the accountant guy.
Yeah.
Maybe Larry. Like the bellboy that runs up really fast.
Right? Yeah. He's just like...
The baby in the carriage.
The baby, yeah. He did weigh like fucking 14 pounds.
Yeah.
He's just a large baby.
He's like, oh my gosh, there's bullets flying around. Yeah.
It's the secret word. Bullets.
Oh, if only everything was Pee-wee. Oh, for the love of God, how more awesome would that be? But it should be noted, Bob Haskins was asked to do the part of Al Capone before they got De Niro.
Wow.
Yeah, they Brian De Palma asked him to do the part, but then when they got De Niro, he's like, sorry, man. We got a way
sucks.
Bigger fucking actor.
That sucks.
But Gene Hackman was also considered.
Huh.
I mean, I could see either one of those guys. And they're both great actors and stuff. And yeah, it kind of sucks for I can't even speak.
Haskins.
Yeah. Old Bobby old Mario, Super Mario himself.
Yeah, Bobby Hoskins. Yeah, that's true.
Gene Hackman looks nothing like Al Capone. That's ridiculous.
Robert De Niro didn't look that much.
He was fucking Italian.
At least he was Italian. That's true.
And I think Hoskins would have been a much more intimidating Al Capone than Robert De Niro than Robert De Niro was. Bob Hoskins brought even like mean and angry attitude in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you put him in this role, and I think that blows Robert De Niro's, method acting away in this film.
Agreed. It's around the same time, right? When was Who Framed Roger Rabbit? That was around
89.
That was 89. Yep. So it's 89. Only 2 years later. So, I can see that.
But he didn't miss out on any payday whatsoever because
Who Framed Roger Rabbit was huge.
And
they're both doing fine.
Also, you didn't have to. Robert De Niro had to wear like pillows and shit under his suits for this movie. Bob Haskins, you didn't do that. You didn't need to like thin out his hair. Thinned out like Robert De Niro's hair. You didn't have to do that with Bob Haskins.
Right.
Yeah, he was already set already. He was a fat, balding dude already. Just like Al Capone. So, I can see why.
Minus the syphilis.
The brain eating syphilis.
Oh, so much syphilis. That's why.
Are there like different levels of syphilis? Can you get like brain eating or like just like dick tip eating,
like zombifying, or is it just like, oh, my girlfriend knows now?
I think it's you move up the levels. I think it's like you start off with I'm peeing fire,
right?
And then I'm peeing fire and blood, and then like eventually you're just like, I'm the king of England.
But from like the same case,
yeah.
Or do you have to like?
No, I'm pretty sure it just gets worse.
Your brain. Yeah. It's only you go blind and it rots your brain out, so you're just insane.
If I did that, I would demand it be on my headstone, though. Like, died this is syphilis. How I went out. Like, my brain melted.
That is syphilis
sex.
Madness.
Like,
I had so much sex.
Liquid brain sex.
I just had so much unprotected sex. Just,
it's like kill by sex.
Just never wore a condom.
Like, yeah, apostrophe. Yeah. Yeah.
I am not responsible at all.
Kill by sex.
Emma's gravestone. Just Emma, safe sex is for pussies. Yeah.
And then under that, killed by syphilis, 2017. That would be the best fucking episode I've ever seen.
First of all, it'd be like 2024, asshole.
No, I would say the end of this year.
Syphilis does take a while to kill.
I'm thriving.
So about that movie, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so let's actually talk about the film. So this, of course, is a kind of a biopic of a sort. This is old Ness Elliott taking down...
Elliot Ness.
Elliot Ness, the other way around, yep.
Yeah, he built the Untouchables, his crew specifically made to take down Al Capone
right, back in the 1930s. Right, because the police corruption, Capone's like tentacles of money and alcohol during Prohibition was at such a great level that... He like they could Elliot Ness couldn't trust.
You couldn't just trust regular police people.
Yeah, you couldn't trust the regular police. So he had to.
He had to create Untouchables. He had to create. Exactly. He had to create a team of people that are so fucking badass that nobody would fuck with them.
And of course, he starts with the old beat cop, old Sean Connery,
just an old Scottish dude. I don't know if he's Irish in this or Scottish.
I mean, he's got to be Scottish.
He's got to still Scottish.
Yeah. The Irish cop sounds.
He didn't try to change his accent.
He didn't try. He never tried. He played a Russian guy. He's still fucking Scottish. He played a Spaniard in Highlander. He's still fucking Scottish.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's just like Sylvester Stallone.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're both the greatest both living awesome. Americans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he recruits the toughest fucking Scottish cop you can. Who just plays by his own fucking rules, and then
the
a
Chicago
nerd
way.
And an Italian, or they call him a WOP a lot in this movie.
What is that?
Or a Dago. Or a Guinea. I don't know. They call him a lot of
Or you
Italians.
Fucking Italian.
Yeah. Italian.
Yeah.
Italians.
Yeah, they're, and it's played by Andy Garcia, who's like Cuban or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not even Italian.
With that furry fucking back neck hair.
Yeah. Emma was very in love with him until she saw his
the
furry
neck
back.
Hair. It was disgusting.
Yeah. Freaks me out. It was all Chewbacca.
I'm not down with the get down.
So he puts together this team to take down Al Capone. This is obviously based off of real life events. So you know going in and kind of more or less how it's going to play out in terms of, you know, the tax evasion, all that stuff, going to jail. But, you know, it's all the devil's in the details. Presentation's great. The cinematography's great.
It's really like a series of shootouts and shit that didn't actually happen, but they were awesome for film.
Yeah, a lot of them didn't happen. But let's, I guess, as we normally do, we should actually go through the film.
So Al Capone is kicking some ass. They're talking about like, oh, what about all the crime that they say your like syndicate does? And he's like, no, I'm just a guy. Like, it's not my fault that booze is illegal and I'm doing everything legally. And then Ness comes in, and he's just a regular blue-collar guy.
Right. So he's sent in to kind of cut down, starts his first raid. He gets this tip about this raid going down with all this Canadian whiskey. Has this huge fucking like task force put together.
There's a paparazzi that just like goes with him. He's a reporter.
Exactly. He's got the reporter there. He's got this huge fucking Mad Max truck.
Oh, that's right, though, with the cow catcher.
Yeah, with the cow catcher in front, busts into this place. It's like, all right, take your picture now, as he's like busting into the crate, and it's just an umbrella. Like, clearly, this was all a setup.
Yeah. They were
you
like,
mean the box with the red maple leaf on it was a setup?
Yeah.
That's
insane.
There's no crime here, eh? Just a bunch of hockey pucks, eh?
Yeah. Just a bunch of umbrellas and hockey pucks.
Hawaiian umbrellas.
And I take a picture of him, and he's a laughing stock of the whole... He's like a treasury officer, which is weird.
He's an officer.
Because he's busting heads for being a treasury officer. Like I feel like back then, you would just be any type... You could get any badge and then go out and just crush anybody that you want.
Yep.
Yeah, you're just like, you know what? I'm taking on the fucking like slavery today, and then you just go down and smash shit. Yeah.
Adios, Ness.
Yeah. I'm gonna go take care of the prostitution guys. You don't worry about a thing.
You're an IRS agent. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But I got this billy club.
Yeah, I got the badge, so I'm clear, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's 1930. I can like rough up as many guys as I want.
You're an FDA inspector. I don't care.
Yeah. Food and drugs, right? Yeah. The prostitutes got drugs. Exactly. So, drugs,
you know? So I got to go fuck as many prostitutes as I can and then bust all of them.
Yeah.
And then several dudes that I don't like on the way there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he takes his treasury badge and just goes in and tries to break down all the fucking Al Capone shit. Doesn't work out for him. And then that night, he meets Sean Connery. That night,
he's having his sad, lonely, like, Incredible Hulk walking away with sad music walk. Hitchhiking. And, yeah, lo and behold, a beat cop comes across him. Kind of, they have a little bit of a tense confrontation at first. And then Elliot Ness kind of reveals who he is. Sean Connery gives him a few pointers, as he is wont to do.
Oh, he tells him rule number one.
He's still alive.
Yeah, you go home alive. That's rule number one of it being an officer.
Yeah. And so then shortly after this, after he's kind of this laughing stock, he's back in the office. He comes up with this idea for the task force. First person he goes to, that same beat cop. Now, this movie, so Sean Connery isn't the star of this movie, but is kind of the highlight. I think we all agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the most badass guy in this fucking movie.
He's definitely the father figure of the group.
Oh, yeah. No, he's definitely the guy that's teaching them all the Chicago way, as he says, and kind of leading the group in a lot of ways, even though technically Elliot Ness is in charge. And then he's the one that wins the Oscar.
Yeah, yeah. He won Best Supporting Actor. This is the only Oscar that Sean Connery has ever won was for this movie.
Which is pretty wild. The guy, he was in show business for a really long time, made a ton of movies.
He was in show business for like 50 years.
Yeah.
Yep, it's crazy.
And he's one of the most famous actors in the world. Won Oscar for Untouchables for Best Supporting Actor. Not even main actor.
Nope.
Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
Might as well have been like Best Score, Sean Connery.
Yeah. It really is one of those things.
Best special effects, Sean Connery.
At a certain point, once you've been in movies long enough, they're just like, yeah, let's just give it to him.
Yeah, we talked about that in the Cocoon episode.
Yeah, Cocoon, yeah.
Cocoon, Don Ameche gets an Academy Award for nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's almost like, not taking away anything from Jackie Chan, but he got like the honorary Oscar.
Yeah.
They were just like, you know what? You've broken so many bones.
Yeah, exactly.
You're uninsurable.
Yeah.
Let's just give you the Oscar.
You've got all the pre-existings, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been doing movies for a long time. It was you or Godzilla. So we gave it to the human person.
We found Godzilla, not a real person.
We set everything up. I mean,
and if we gave it to Godzilla, we would face so much backlash.
Yeah.
You know, giving it to the terrorist.
Yeah, exactly.
the giant Japanese lizard
another
terrorist.
Another example of liberal Hollywood.
Giving it to fucking Jackie Chan. Every fucking time. That's how it always fucking works.
Liberal Hollywood.
Wait, what?
No. But, going back to that, the movie that we were talking about, right? He picks, first of all, two of the coolest motherfuckers that there are, which is Sean Connery, which is a tough as nails fucking Scottish dude. And then Andy Garcia, who is this Italian guy, who's like he's like the live wire.
Yeah, he's the new kid. He's specifically, they pull him out. He's like a rookie cop.
He's a wild card.
He's the wild card, yeah.
And then an accountant.
Yeah.
The fourth guy is like...
And ultimately, that's what brings down Al Capone is accounting. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly. And he's the nerdy guy from American Graffiti, who we learned also grew up to be actually a pretty attractive guy.
I mean, at the ripe age of 108.
Yeah. Yeah. Now.
Now. He's at super 72, fucking hot.
Mm-hmm. With his beard and his white hair.
It's salt and pepper, ladies.
Yeah, Charles Martin Google Smith. It. Google him now. He's a pretty attractive
Google
guy.
Google him then. Google him now.
Currently on display with Walking with Dinosaurs.
Yeah, he's an old guy.
That's but Smithsonian.
He actually kills a lot of motherfuckers in this movie.
Yeah, he kills everyone.
He goes ham with that shotgun later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he sets up this task force. And this is the team.
There's a couple of scenes. Yeah, a couple of scenes where they're just like breaking shit up for Al Capone, and like it's some really good shooting scenes.
Yeah, yeah. There's some really well. Put together little action scenes. They're very quick. You know, it's not quite montage style, but they're definitely getting through it pretty quickly, letting you know, like, okay, he's taking apart Capone's operation piece by piece.
Yeah. And there's that great scene with the Canadians.
Well, before that, though, we got to talk about the baseball bat.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, One of the most famous scenes, I think. Yeah. And it gets copied a lot, like parodied and stuff sometimes, which is Robert De Niro having this great like gala dinner.
Yeah, he invites all of his other like gangster buddies. Yeah. And he's giving them like the pep talk about how it's all about teamwork. And
baseball.
Baseball.
Pulls out a baseball bat. Makes sense.
The team.
Yeah, this is all about the team. Pulls out a baseball. And then proceeds
There's
to
There's
no
the guy
on
to team,
yeah.
But there is bloody head smashed in.
Brains.
In team, actually, if you spell it fully.
Yeah, you spell it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
There's
a complicated
like an
one.
M and an E yeah. and stuff, so it makes sense.
It's a scrap. It's this whole word puzzle thing, but you know.
It's pretty fucking awesome. I really love that scene, actually. And
it's very good.
It's the first time that, because Al Capone's got this stigma where he's just like, oh, he was an old school gangster during Prohibition and shit like that. And then everybody was killing people, and it's not that bad. But that's a good scene to just set up, like he just murders a guy with a baseball bat. In the middle of a fucking like nice dinner.
Yeah.
That's a good scene to set up how vicious he was.
And that's the only scene where you really see him get his hands dirty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
His own hands, because
right.
for the
Everything
most
else
part.
Is he's ordering stuff.
Right, yeah. Because yeah,
he's trying to play the legitimate business.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's Needy, right? Needy, his hitman.
Yeah.
That does all the like dirty work for
right.
him.
Right, yeah. Yep. Yep, a.k.a. Snowman.
Yeah. He's white all the time.
Yep. We joked he could have been like a Dick Tracy villain or something. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Always wears white, always like has that weird like plasticky looking face.
Super plastic.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep, almost like one of those weasel hitmen from the...
from Dick Tracy, or from
Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. From Roger Rabbit,
but
yeah.
But personified. Yeah, it's nuts.
He is human cosplaying it.
Yeah.
They should have laughed him to death, just like those guys from Roger Rabbit.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, then we get to the scene in Canada. So they get another tip that there are going to be a huge shipment coming down from Canada. They set up this like sting operation with the Mounties, and they're hanging out in this cabin. Sean Connery again, just giving wisdom to everybody.
Yeah, being like, hey, I know a lot. I grew up around a lot of shit in Scotland. Here's all my Scottish wisdom.
Yeah. And so they set up this bus. The Canadians, again, like, they actually jump the gun. They're supposed to wait for Kevin Costner's signal. They rush in before they're ready.
Like a bunch of goddamn maniacs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, Brendan Fraser leading with Dudley Do-Right.
He was riding backwards. Yeah. He couldn't see the signal.
Exactly. It wasn't necessarily their fault. It was just he shot first.
Right.
And really, that's all I thought about when I saw them. I'm like, those are Mounties. Like, what are they going to do?
Yeah. But seriously, they charged in like war-crazed, you know, Apache.
Yeah, they really did.
Like yeah.
a Paul Simon concert in
yep.
New York City.
It reminded me of that scene in Back to the Future 3 where Marty goes back into the Wild West. And all of a sudden, there's all those natives.
Yeah.
You know?
What Paul Simon concerts are you going to?
In New York City, in Central Park. That famous concert.
Just a really full, like, giant concert?
How do you not know about this?
Yeah, no, you know what I like about those concerts is that it's like Paul Simon on a stool with a guitar, and it's like 400,000 people.
Yeah, and then the New York City cops on horses fucking freak out, and that's the whole reference to it in Elf.
Elf, okay.
Oh, Jesus Lord.
There you go.
Yeah. When they're like, oh.
I have an excuse. I'm I'm 26.
Yeah, well, we're 22, so we're just educated. Yeah.
We're just smart.
We're just
right.
really well-versed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Go listen to Sugar Ray.
He will burn. She has seriously like been holding on to the Sugar Ray thing.
There's
on
a
Facebook.
Long rage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's mentioned it to me like 14 times in the last 2 days.
I
can't wait to record.
I've talked about it to people at work.
And you know what? It's just seriously like strung my heartstrings. I'm like
a Sugar Ray cover band.
So I wake up every morning
like Sugar
feeling
Ray was a
so
Sugar Ray
fly.
Cover band.
Yeah, I feel like
that someday, when it's over.
Oh my god! This is the part of the show where Emma fucking jumps off a cliff.
I just wanna fly.
It's palpable. No. She's been like, like feeding off of
it's salivating the glands of her music taste.
And she's like, I can't wait.
She wants it. She's just so in denial. It's like, it's just, it's there. Just let it happen. Frosted tips.
Guy Fieri.
Acoustic guitars.
Sugar, you know sugar, how much sugar, I fucking hate Ray. Guy Fieri? So much.
So for the audience at home.
Sugar Ray.
They've had a bit of a beef about whether or not Sugar Ray is a great band or Garbage Time.
And if you followed us on Facebook, you would know this, assholes.
Yeah.
Diss track coming soon.
Yeah. Just friend us on Facebook and like us on Facebook, and then you would know all of this precursor.
You would know all of this.
Blockbuster nostalgia.
And you would see, people would get behind me. Armies and armies of people would get behind me and support.
Put your arm so if you around, have, baby.
If you have strong...
We're out of whiskey. This isn't even fair right now.
Guess who's got the last of it?
If you have strong pro or anti Sugar Ray beliefs and or opinions, go ahead and share that with us on Facebook or on the email that's just blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com or blockbusternostalgia on
Facebook. His name is Nick
Facebook.
Castro. He's on Facebook. Find him.
I am.
Destroy him.
Yeah.
Go on to his YouTube channel and just every video, just write Sugar Ray Sucks.
Nerdy Nick on YouTube.
All right. Now's a good time to plug. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Plug your show.
Yep.
Tell us about your show and tell us where to find your show.
All right, so...
It's called Drive-In Diners and Dives.
You shut your mouth.
It's called Guy Fieri Cosplay.
Guy Fieri
Stuff in
day,
the buns.
A video game.
Hot greasy burger sex. Yeah.
Hot. I would totally watch a channel called Hot Greasy Burger Sex. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It almost sounds like Lindy's.
Yeah.
Like a better version of that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so anyways, my channel... non-shameless plug, hashtag not sorry or whatever, but my channel is, my name is Nick, right? So I was like, you know what, Nerdy Nick, there was a while ago where I had my my channel, it's always been, you know, there, but before it was called Bro
it's
TV.
Always since the beginning of time.
Since the beginning of time, 5 years
a
ago
channel there.
Yes. Yeah, always when- YouTube was encrypted with my channel before it even knew I was a channel.
There's a reason
when Al Gore invented the internet, Nerdy Nick's channel was there.
So back in the day, it was called Bro TV, and it was very much like a Tosh.0 ESPN hybrid. And we talk about, you know, video games, like concerts, video games, concerts, hot chick of the week, prank segments, and all that stuff. But I decided, you know what? My co-host and I aren't really working out.
So you had them killed.
Break up.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's a due divorce.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was bro-vorce. Yeah.
Tell me how this worked out, because, I mean, no reason.
Let me end this long fucking plug here and just say that I decided to be true to myself, be true to my audience, and show everyone what I'm about. I'm about fucking cosplay because, one, I've got the bod to fucking rock a DBZ cosplay, and I'm not fucking shameful about that whatsoever. Two, I'm a huge fan of, like, Metal Jesus Rocks, the Pink Gorilla vintage video game store in Seattle, and that whole scene up there. And here in Arizona, especially Southern Arizona, it's extremely scarce and rare that you see serious collectors here. And I decided when I went to the Game On Expo in Mesa last year that I was like, you know what? I'm going to take on that mantle. I'm going to make Tucson, Arizona a fucking spot. Just because it's not in Northwestern Seattle or whatever doesn't mean we can't be that here too.
And we're like the hipster city in Arizona.
For sure.
Yeah.
And speaking
of
that,
we got a pinball arcade.
Yeah, exactly. We have a fucking pinball arcade. Let's not to cut you off, but let's jump to our next sponsor, which is People's Choice.
Right.
Who is right on top of that? We got the game swap meet coming up.
Did he say his show first?
Oh yeah, no, say your show.
No.
Plus Nerdy Nick. Plug your show.
Yeah, it's Nerdy Nick on YouTube. I haven't made a URL yet because I'm fucking lazy, so I'm sorry. But type Nerdy Nick, you'll see all my videos show up. Yeah.
And then it's mostly classic video game reviews.
Exactly.
And, there's also some old beer reviews as well.
Yep, beer reviews. Currently doing like pickup videos is my latest video. And I'll get this off real quick here. I'm doing a fundraiser on GoFundMe to get me to the Portland Retro Gaming Expo. It's a huge, huge opportunity for me. I've been invited by some YouTubers and actually the Pink Gorilla store owner in Seattle, which, I mean, here it's not a huge deal, but to me, that's a giant, huge deal for me to get there. It's the largest retro gaming expo in the United States. So for me to get there to do interviews, do podcast episodes and whatnot, and just to be there in that experience would be amazing. So
my GoFundMe. If you love that classic video game stuff, definitely hit up the GoFundMe. Is it under Nerdy Nick?
Yeah, the GoFundMe is Get Nerdy Nick to the PRGE.
There you go.
So go hit that up.
Yeah, give 5, 10 bucks.
Any donation size helps. 50 cents, dude.
My bank account.
Yeah. We will be embezzling from him quite heavily.
Yes.
Quite heavily.
He's going to be bound in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like Al Capone, we will have some.
This podcast constitutes a verbal contract.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. In which we get 50% of your.
Yep. I've signed my soul away to Blockbuster Nostalgia.
We did have you sign a lot of things for a reason.
Okay. Yeah. But what they don't know is I get Elvira cardboard cutout out of the deal.
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a
tough one to give up.
I'm in love with that.
Don't tell my wife.
Yeah. It's hidden in your garage.
I don't have a garage. I live in an apartment. Yeah.
It's in the closet. Don't go in that closet, right?
Don't go where your clothes are.
Yeah. Don't ask why, but I will get your clothes from now on.
Yep. You tell me what you need.
What dress do you want? I'll go in and get it. And then inside, it's just you just hear you like, oh, Elvira, I love you so much.
You have such luptious tits.
You're great, Brett. Oh, what? I got your dress. I got your dress right here.
No, it's right here. It's good.
I was not measuring a hole size in her vagina region.
So if you also like that classic video game, you definitely want to get down August 19th, right?
Yeah, People's Choice Video is having the big video game swap meet.
Going to be awesome. And just in general, People's Choice Video, your best choice in Southern Arizona to buy or rent video games, adult films, movies, regular movies, just regular old.
I like that you went with video games, then adult films, then regular movies.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm running off.
Yeah,
adult films.
I guess. Yep,
because we got to say what's important.
Yeah, it's like you like Super Mario Brothers? Yes. You like Debbie Does Dallas 4 Double Anal? Yes. You like Selena? Yes.
It's all the above.
And I'm sure we've got something in between.
Yeah, there's something in there.
Nope, no, nothing.
But come and check out the Retro 90s Video Store.
And finally, we want to thank...
The event.
Yeah, we just plugged it like a million times.
But we'll plug it one more time. Yeah. Video Game Swap Meet, August 19th. Everyone better be there. Yeah. Whether
10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Do it.
Stuff.
Whether you're there to sell, buy, or trade, you better be there.
Look at cool shit.
Yeah.
Come check out some awesome history.
Flash your wiener.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah. As long as it's smaller than mine.
And speaking of flashing wiener, Beer Geek Bakery.
Flashing wiener all around town. No, just brownies.
Beer Geek Bakery providing pastries with local brews, beer kiss goodies, delicious pastries and desserts made with beer.
Eric,
all around Tucson.
I was going to say, you guys are fucking terrible at this shit.
I don't know, and it's your fucking business. I actually don't know what you do, Emma.
At all.
All right, so Beer Geek Bakery.
I just thought you were making toothpaste.
Beer Geek Bakery makes the toothpaste that'll whiten your teeth, guaranteed, within 100 days. Beer Geek Bakery makes the most delicious pastries in all of Southern Arizona, full stop. But specifically, they make it with craft beer from all across the various breweries here. You can find Beer Geek Bakery on Facebook and Instagram. You're definitely going to want to follow Beer Geek because there is events every month. And they're incredible. You get amazing beer and amazing snacks, all for one low, low price. And if you mention this here podcast at one of the events, you'll even get a discount.
Yeah, fuck yeah, you will. If you mention this podcast at any one of my events, I will give you $1 off any full-size product.
That's so fly.
Yeah, it is.
Pay enough. Blockbuster told you, pay enough.
You motherfucker.
Oh, I got you.
You didn't even see it coming.
I will destroy you.
Shit, that was good.
Maybe someday.
That was pretty perfect. That was pretty perfect. Be careful what you wish for, Emma.
Yeah.
All right, now that we're done plugging shit for 48 minutes.
Sorry about that, guys.
No, it was all Emma.
Yeah.
Her stupid
totally
beer
your fault.
Stuff.
Stupid beer.
No, follow, share, like all of our sponsors, please.
But mainly us, because fuck the rest of the sponsors.
Yeah.
So follow us on Facebook and subscribe on iTunes and give us ratings and all that good shit. Email us. Email us. So I did want to give a shout out. We talked about Brian De Palma. We talked about the cast and everything.
Yeah.
I did want to give a shout out to the cinematographer, Stephen Burham. I may be pronouncing that wrong, but he is the cinematographer of this film, and it's a beautiful looking film. He's worked a lot with Brian De Palma on a lot of different movies, but I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, actually, it's beautifully shot, I thought. And one of the funny things about it is that Ennio Morricone does a score for this movie, and he's one of my favorite composers.
You would know him probably best for all of the Spaghetti Westerns.
Yeah, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Yeah. But he also did like Once Upon a Time in America. He also did Django. No, not Django. Hateful Eight.
Yes.
He just recently did Hateful Eight.
He did Hateful Eight with Tarantino. He did actually Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, he did Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also did a lot of like Italian. He was Italian, so he did a lot of Italian like horror movies at the time. This, not his strongest score.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's not a very good score. It's a very like adventure fantasy sounding score to a movie that's like a crime drama.
Yeah, it definitely felt like this movie was a score filled like you expect this score to be behind every graduation speech.
Yeah, there's a lot of inspirational swelling.
Yeah. And I mean, I can see where they're coming from, where they're like, all right, guys, we're going to take down the bad guys. Here we go. But I felt like, Pee-wee's, you know, Big Adventure score would have set better.
In the beginning, you said it sounded like Danny Elfman. It was a very Danny Elfman sounding. Mm-hmm. And it's that like kind of like adventure, like high, like energy score.
Yeah.
That it seems like it doesn't fit this movie that well.
Yeah, it was odd, but I tried my best, you know, like not to take that away from the film.
Yeah.
Oh, I let it just take everything away.
Yeah.
It destroyed it.
Give it away now. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, he's one of, if you look up Ennio Morricone, he composed scores for like 5 movies a year for like 50 years.
Yeah, no, he's a workhorse. And we did mention while we were watching it that, I mean, the film it's mostly based off of real events, but it's also like the title specifically and kind of some of the inspiration comes from an old 50s series, right?
Yeah, so the studio, that's why they made this movie, because they didn't want to lose the rights to it, that they still had carried over from like the 1954 series, The Untouchables. So I can feel like the score feels like it's for the 50s show.
Yeah, and even some of the way that it's put together, it feels like very much a throwback. I mean, obviously it's set in the 30s and they're going for that film noir style and the clothing and the lighting and everything. You got a lot of the Venetian blind lighting and stuff like that. But yeah, it does feel very much like a throwback in many ways, even in the acting, which we've talked about.
Yeah. What did you guys think of Kevin Costner?
I thought it was shit.
I thought...
Really?
I thought he wasn't very convincing as a leader.
Right.
I know that he was trying to portray the very innocent, like, you know what? I'm so angry.
He's like
I want to take.
Good guy.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. I'm so angry. Yeah, I want to take this bad guy down, but I don't want to necessarily do everything necessary.
Yeah. Right. He wants to be the good guy. He wants to do it by the book. He freaks out the first time he kills a guy. During the big
the Mountie,
he really freaks out about it afterwards, and Sean Connery has to come over and be like, "Would you rather it was you? Like, it's all right. You did your job. You're going home to your family. Like, you should feel good about this." And but yeah, Sean Connery, or rather Kevin Costner's whole thing through this is somewhat torn because he really wants to be that kind of good guy and everything. Yeah.
Which is weird because in Dances with Wolves, like, he was that good guy who really believed in his cause and then transitioned into someone who was like, oh, my cause is bullshit. You know what I mean? And, like, he really fucking sold it in that movie. And in this movie, it was just weak as shit. Like you said, nothing about his character would have made me be like, yeah, fuck yeah, you're a treasury officer. I'm going to get behind you and go against the biggest mob
and
fucking guy.
I mean, I hate to put somebody on blast, but I've always thought Kevin Costner's pretty flat.
Oh, yeah. I've never been a big fan of Kevin Costner.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan.
As much as I
enjoy some of his films, Silverado's great.
Yeah.
Open Range was really good.
Really good. I still like Waterworld. I'll go to bat for Waterworld.
The War, I've always
Dennis
been...
Hopper, the though. War's really good, yeah. Dennis Hopper, and yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
But out for the part of Ness in this movie was Michael Douglas, Don Johnson... Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford was approached at one time.
Oh, fuck yeah, Harrison Ford. Yeah.
Mickey Rourke.
Oh!
I feel like any of those.
William Hurt, Jeff Bridges, Mel Gibson. Oh, I always say Mel Gibson. Nick Nolte at one point, too, and Tom Berenger.
Yeah. I feel like any
you know, of those. Who's,
because the movie was in production for a long time. So it was like they approached a lot of actors.
Yeah. I feel like Sam Elliott would have fit in this movie fucking perfectly.
Sam Elliott would have worked too. Yeah, for
Sam
sure.
Elliott would have been.
You know,
cool.
Either as Sean Connery's character or Ness.
Yeah. Or Elliot Ness. Yeah.
Either
yeah.
one.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think Gene Hackman was up for Sean Connery.
Yeah. Although, I mean, Connery's kind of perfect.
And early on, before the movie got produced, like 4 years before, Marlon Brando got offered a shit ton of money for the Al Capone part and he like turned it down.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Because he's Marlon Brando. Yeah,
he knows what the fuck he's going to do.
Yeah.
He's going to show up at set with a fucking midget. And...
yeah, and be like, this is me now.
Although, this is my thing now.
There's the thing about Sean Connery showing up, shooting for 5 minutes, and then going golfing all day.
Yeah, that's
and then coming back and shooting for another 2 minutes, and then going golfing again.
I forgot to go to the golfing course.
Yeah, he's Scottish. They created the fucking game.
Yeah, they did.
I've got to go get the pole in one.
He was just banging hookers.
Yeah.
Or he was just golfing, but talking about it like if he was banging hookers.
You like my penis, don't you? Yeah.
And then the whole time he's just golfing.
Yeah. That's a hole in one for sure.
So Sean Connery was here and he was talking a lot about banging all these chicks. I followed him. All he does is play golf for 14 hours. He was very sexual with it, but he's still all he does is play golf.
He was really weird when he asked for his putter.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of Sean Connery, I do want to get to one of the coolest scenes. After the whole Mountie thing and Kevin Costner kills that guy, they've captured one guy alive. And he's like an accountant or some shit. And they're trying to get him to talk. And he won't talk. He's like, you know, fuck you guys. You got nothing. Like, fuck you pigs, whatever. And Sean Connery goes outside, grabs the dead body, hauls him up, and starts, like, questioning him like he's alive, puts his gun in his mouth, counting down, blows the dude's brain out, and the guy, the accountant that's alive, starts freaking out. He's like, all right, I'll tell you whatever you want. I'll tell you whatever you want. Yeah. Just a total bluff. It's fucking fantastic.
It is.
It is. And it also gets fucking Charles Martin Smith killed.
Yeah.
Because, like, then that guy's going to talk. And then when they're getting him in the courthouse and shit like that, Charles Martin Smith is going to take him down in the elevator. Turns out the cop is Mr. Snow or whatever we talked.
The
snowman. The
slimy henchman. Yeah. Guy.
Shoots both of them and then writes
in blood.
Touchable on the fucking.
Which
elevator.
Is a great, great little
that's
moment.
That's the best part of the whole movie.
Yeah. And I feel like we failed to mention that one of the reporters mentioned the Untouchables.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They set that up already. Yeah.
Yeah, so after that, that message was like, you guys are nobody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anybody can be killed.
Yeah, exactly. And they already have the scene, too, where he drives by Kevin Costner's house and is like, hey, nice house you got there. Nice family, huh?
Nice
shame
daughter.
If anything were to happen to them. Huh?
Yeah. It looks like you got a gift for your daughter's birthday, huh? It'd be a shame if something happened to her.
Something happened to that gift or that daughter, you know?
I'm going to blow her fucking brains out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's if you're lucky. Anyways.
What if Kim Costner was super like oblivious and he's like, yeah, that would be a shame.
Just like, especially she's a nice girl.
Because it's her birthday. Yeah,
it's
her birthday.
Can I hire you to protect her?
That'd be fucking awful. Jesus Christ,
like,
man.
No, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. So anybody could walk in and shoot her. And he's like, yeah,
you're
right.
That could happen.
Right. That totally could happen. This is 1930.
World. What I'm telling you is I will kill your daughter.
Here, hold my gun.
Wait a minute.
So that's totally a Family Guy moment right there.
So that starts to get things a little more, like things are not going so great for the Untouchables. Because then Sean Connery, some guy breaks into his house. Sean Connery chases him out with a fucking shotgun. But Snowman's sitting there with a Tommy gun waiting for him.
Shoots him 48,000 fucking times.
48 million.
Yeah.
48 million. Shoots him a lot of times.
But adjusted for inflation.
He shot him 14 billion times.
Yeah. But yet, he does not die.
Nope.
I mean, he does eventually. But he crawls back in.
Like 2 hours later,
Kevin Costner shows up, and he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And manages to give him this last message, which is there's one more like witness left that they're trying to subpoena. And they're rushing him out of town on like the subway or the train or whatever.
It's a train to Miami.
Like a train to station. So he knows where he's going to be, when he's going to be there. And then he shows up for the big climatic scene. This is the scene that's been parodied and referenced and everything.
The Naked Gun.
Naked Gun.
Yeah,
that's
Naked
right.
Gun. Does
Family Guy, you said, did it, right? Or The Simpsons?
Yeah, The Probably Simpsons Golf. Have done yep. it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the train
and
station.
It's actually,
baby
it, it itself is a bit of a reference to Battleship Potemkin.
Yeah, Battleship Potemkin, one of the earliest.
It's an old Russian, old Russian movie. Classic thing that they force you to watch in film school.
Yeah.
That makes you think that all Russian women are hideous.
Oh, yeah. Well, all Russian women are very, very attractive.
Until
they like are babushkas. You are very attractive and then you're 40 and then you're just like, you grow a mustache. And then you put the thing and you're like a great grandma. Yeah.
I haven't heard babushka since I was like 12.
Yeah, that's exactly, that's what you become. You become a babushka. And then you're just a man with a hood on. Like there's no middle ground. There's no like MILF in Russian women.
Penis.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it's just
penis.
They really want to win those Olympics, so it's a lot of hormones, a lot of testosterone. And then it eventually pays off.
You get all the mustaches.
Yep. The reverse of pays off. Yep. It invites nightmares to you.
But Putin pays you extra.
You got that money. And,
yep.
I mean, who can say no to that face?
He doesn't pay you extra. He just doesn't kill
your family.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yep. Bareback horse riding.
Yeah.
No shirt on. Like a fucking boss.
Yeah.
I
don't see Trump doing that, but
Don't invite him.
Man, all that gyno.
So the sequence happens on this like stairway in the subway station.
It is a really cool.
In
he's
the train
like,
station.
He's like stalking it out, and then there's a lady with a baby who's not taking care of the baby.
She's struggling.
Yeah, to pull the carriage up.
He goes to help her. Then the shit hits the fan. Everyone pulls guns. Huge gunfight, carriage, slow motion.
Babies are flying.
Andy Garcia is shooting people across the room, running
sailors
in.
Are getting shot.
Sailors are getting blown away. Guns are getting tossed, caught. Anyways, Andy Garcia and Kevin Costner both managed to save the baby. Mm-hmm. One guy's left alive, takes the guy hostage. Andy Garcia just one shot straight through the head. Does not give a damn.
Pretty fucking badass of Andy Garcia. Yeah.
Really
through the hat, through the head.
Yeah.
While laying down, holding a gun.
And
perfect
a baby carriage.
Carrying up a baby.
While holding the baby carriage.
It's pretty great.
And it was just pretty
fucking
badass.
Meanwhile, Kevin Costner's like, just do it.
Yeah. Well, he does have the cool line where, he gives him the okay or whatever, but...
He could have shot. I feel like Kevin Costner could have shot him.
He totally...
Yeah,
he just wasn't badass. Yeah. He wasn't badass
enough. At the same time...
A la Lethal Weapon?
Yeah. Blow his fucking head up into explosives.
Yeah.
Just like old school, like,
this
open head.
Yeah, like George A. Romero style, just fucking...
For the special edition, in fairness, there's a huge explosion with a ring and everything.
There's
a lot of CGI.
Yeah. It's a portal to another dimension, shoots out of his brain.
Yep.
So then we get one last little action sequence outside the courtroom. Mr. Snowman himself pulls a gun, shoots a cop. There's a huge little chase. And eventually...
Up in the rooftops. Rooftop
there's a rooftop chase. Mm-hmm. Kevin Costner has a chance to shoot him. Doesn't. Decides he's going to take him in. Then the guy just won't shut the fuck up.
How about killing
Just keeps
about
running
killing
his fucking
Connery.
Mouth.
Yep.
So like, that Kevin Costner throws Sean him Connery? Off the roof.
Yep.
And then does have a pretty kick-ass line where somebody asks him where he is, and he's like, oh, he's in the car.
Yeah.
Because he lands through the car, and everything's pretty great.
That's badass of you, Kevin Costner.
Say that he threw him off the roof would be like an understatement. He literally grabbed the guy by the collar, was behind him, sprinted towards the edge of the rooftop, and then let the guy just, his momentum carry him into the car.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So, obviously, the end result, we already know this is going to happen. Al Capone goes to prison for tax evasion. Eventually, he'll get out and stuff. The movie doesn't cover that. Eventually, he gets out and then dies of syphilis.
He bribes the jury and the judge, and then they bring it to his attention that the jury is bribed. So then the judge flips the juries to another trial's jury, and then he gets convicted.
Yeah.
Which actually happened. That's
and
a real life thing.
Kevin Costner goes off and lives happily ever after, and it's pretty much the end of the movie.
Yeah, apparently, Ness was not happily married with kids. He was like divorced 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know what that's like, Emma.
That's pretty awesome.
He also died pretty broke. Like, even when he died, they didn't cover it in the newspaper. Like, people kind of forgot about him.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It's because as soon as, and this movie does touch on that, it doesn't really touch on that, but the moment that he's leaving Chicago, they're like, oh, by the way, Prohibition is gone now. Drinking back on.
Yep.
Yeah. Bye, guy.
Yeah. You assembled an elite team, lost 2 of its members, and now Prohibition is legal.
Yeah. All that stuff you were fighting so hard for, it's legal again. So
yeah. Nobody gives a shit anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So technically Al Capone is like only in jail because of tax evasion. Yeah. Not because of the booze.
No, yeah.
Although, I mean, the real problem with Al Capone wasn't even the booze. It was more the murdering.
It was more like the beating guys to death with baseball bats.
Like, yeah, but even the beginning of the movie, I mean, he blows up a bar with a little girl in it.
Oh,
yeah, that's
true. Oh, we totally didn't touch that.
Yeah, we didn't touch about this. But when the movie's starting off, yeah. Like, they talk about how there's rumors that Capone, like, any place that doesn't, like, do business with him or whatever, like, he takes them out. And then there's a moment where a guy totally blows up this bar with this, like, little, like, 8-year-old girl in it, which is pretty rough. Yeah.
And I think she was just, like, what, collecting water from the barkeep?
Something ridiculous.
Yeah, and he was, like,
super sad.
And he was like, how's your mom? Oh, she's doing all right. She's sick. And mister, you forgot your bag. Kaboom, motherfucker!
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what she said.
Yeah, there's, like, a whole sequence where she's like, oh, well, mom's real sick, and I'm taking care of my 3 little kids, and I work 18 hours a day at 3 jobs, and I'm 12 years old. Oh, yeah.
Back in the 1930s, you're 12 years old, you have 3 kids.
Yeah, exactly. That's half your life.
Yeah, that is.
You're halfway downhill.
Yeah.
And yet, they still blow her up. Very sad. Very sad. Well, who's going to take care of those kids now?
I know. She was supposed to live to a ripe old age of 30.
Yeah, who's going to take care of her sickly 28-year-old mom?
Yeah.
Oh.
They all have polio.
Basically
There's
a grandma.
Rampant polio.
Yep.
Now she's gone.
Now she's gone forever.
And thanks, Al Capone.
We'll never know what happens after World War II. So sad.
No, yeah. She won't even know. She won't even know that we come through the Depression, all right. Only to have another depression many years later.
Yeah.
We'll never know what a shantytown is. What a shame.
What a shame. What a shame. She'll never suck a cock for eggs.
Chocolate.
Probably never suck a cock at all.
So sad.
Again, huge shame.
Not invented until 1967.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah. Blowjobs. There was no blowjobs, no facials. It was all just like pumping in and dumping in there, and that's it.
Could you imagine like the first blowjob ever in the whole world? It was like, hey, why don't you kiss my penis?
Yeah. Now keep kissing my penis.
Open your mouth. Pretend it's a sausage. You know.
And then she bit it. It was a lot of blood.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah. Never mind. Never mind.
Random.
I do not like
thoughts.
This anymore.
Yeah.
So
By the way, I can in fact imagine the first blowjob ever. I do all the time.
I imagine it was like sandpaper. I don't know why, but it's just like women had no idea what to do. They were like, I'm sure constant friction gets him off, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was caveman times.
I always just imagine caveman times.
I think it was caveman times.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, do you know how to milk a cow? Me neither, but let's do that to a penis. Yeah.
See, I just imagine, the thing about caveman times that I always imagine is they're just trying, like, they don't know what the fuck. So, like, they're lighting everything on fire. They're seeing what they can punch. They're sticking their dick in everything.
That's true. Literally modern-day teenager.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
They're like, mouth, pussy, ass, this rock over here. Yeah.
I like all these ants. So I'm going to go in with that.
This tree. I don't know.
Unga unga cantaloupe. Yeah.
There's a wolf carcass. Let me just stick my dick in that. I don't know what's going to feel good.
I fucked 12 papayas before I found the right one.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that one felt amazing.
And that's how you get the Ona holes.
Yeah. You know what? I heard a rumor that is what inspired American Pie.
Yeah.
Papayas?
Yes.
Like
yes.
Actual papayas?
Yeah, and it was like a fruit. They were like, you know what? Let's make the movie, but let's not give the real credit to papayas because that's too fucking... that's a hippie fruit.
Exactly. Papayas don't grow in America.
Yeah, exactly. No, those,
man, American pie. It's like
dirty.
Like, let's do foreign apples because that's American, and let's release that in the summer, which is around the 4th of July.
They didn't even let them have the Dutch top, so it had to be full-on crust, you know.
It was like two screenwriters being like, well, you can't fuck an apple. That's too dry.
It's way too small.
But that's all American. When you do peaches, we could.
Yeah.
There's a pit, though.
Yeah.
You're hitting pit. Halfway through, you're hitting pit.
So that's the end of the movie, and...
they catch Al Capone. Again, like you said, Al Capone dies of syphilis many years later.
And it's a fairly happy ending for the movie, though. And it's a really fun movie. I like it a lot. It's beautifully shot. It's fun, like, just period piece, gangster stuff. Yeah. Like, I really enjoy it.
I'd seen shootouts. This before, obviously, a long time ago, and I'm still super in love with it.
Yeah. I don't know that everyone else in the room likes it, but no. I like it.
First timer, didn't like it.
I was completely green to the film, and aside from the score, I liked it.
Cool.
That's fair.
You touched your microphone a lot before... We got to that point.
Yeah. I was like randomly stretching and then hit the filter.
You're still doing
there.
It right now. I can hear all of that.
I am so sorry.
There you go. No, that's cool.
I do YouTube, no podcasting.
No,
so.
No microphone situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll put my hands under my crotch now.
Just tucked in under your scrotes.
Tuck.
Just like a caveman.
Yeah.
Fondling the balls.
But no, I really like the
movie. Yeah, it's a great movie. Ignore these other people.
Yeah, me and Eric are all that matter.
Yeah, Rhett's, as always.
Yeah.
So, if you like The Untouchables, though, you may like one of the many films from our recommendations. We have four recommendations next. We have four people, which I'm sorry that this will take longer than normal. But who wants to start?
I guess I'll start. While I'm talking about this, get prepared about what the next movie is, because...
Oh, good call.
Yeah, because usually by the time we get there, it's just a lot of paper shuffling, and then we don't know. But anyway... I'm going to go with the actual movie Capone, back in the fucking 80s. Roger Corman produced this movie by Steve Carver. It's got one Sylvester Stallone in it.
Oh,
playing
hells
Al Capone's like right-hand man who helps take him down, kind of like betrays him a little bit, but because he's trying to take over. Yeah, he Judas him. Trying to take over the whole like empire and stuff like that.
Wait. Oh, I thought you said Judaism. I was like...
Judaism.
Yeah, okay.
Stallone is in this movie?
Stallone is in this movie, yeah. He plays a bodyguard.
There's a Stallone movie I have not seen. That's amazing.
Wow. You should watch this fucking movie. It's actually... It's really good. Steve Carver also directed such great crime dramas as Big Bad Mama.
Of course.
Remember that? Lone Wolf McQuaid.
Oh, that's good. Good old
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris, yeah.
And then The Arena, which is that post-apocalyptic Mad Max style movie about chicks fighting it out in an arena.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
Just based on the premise. That. Yeah.
But no, if you can find this movie, I saw it not too long ago. Sylvester Stallone is really cool in it.
Of course.
But that Capone movie goes all into him dying with syphilis, sitting next to a pool, just a madman. With a syphilis-ridden brain.
Nice.
Anyways. Zombified, you know, Al Capone.
Oh, yeah. He's just in a wheelchair because he can't even fucking see and walk anymore. That's what happened to Capone.
That sounds pretty great. I got to check that out.
Yeah.
Emma? Right.
So I'm going to recommend Oscar, which also
Stallone. I love that.
Stallone movie.
We're going all Stallone. I'm going to change mine and just recommend
you
a Stallone film. Yeah.
It's fucking great. It's a comedy. He is a gangster whose daughter is getting married. And it's if you followed our recommendations earlier and watched Johnny Dangerously, it's kind of similar to that. It's fucking great. You should watch it.
I love Oscar. In all honesty, like that's one of those films that people kind of didn't know what to do with because it's Stallone right in the midst of him being like a huge action star and it's not an action movie.
No, not at all. But
it's a really smart comedy. Like it really feels to me like a really strong stage play.
Yeah.
Because it's all like one or two locations, but it's like really quick dialogue, really snappy comebacks, great performances.
Set in the same time period.
Yeah, it's classic like gangster stuff. It's great.
And so Stallone's a great fucking gangster.
Yeah, he's a really good gangster. Nick.
Yeah, so Nerdy Nick recommendations is obviously not going to be a movie, so for you guys, brace yourselves. It's the Punisher game for the NES or the Nintendo Entertainment System.
That's a great fucking recommendation.
Yeah, you know what?
Going
it's
old
just like
school.
Yeah, it's old
like
school
Dolph Lundgren era Punisher.
Over the shoulder third person shooter produced by LJN, which is one of their only good games ever. It's just all about beating the fuck out of crime. and killing off crime bosses, and that's literally all there is to it.
Nice.
And if you actually play the game, don't shoot the saxophone guy. You get a bonus if you don't shoot him.
Oh, that's a good tip.
That's a nice tip.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't shoot him.
Don't shoot the saxophonist. I feel like that's good advice for life, too.
Yeah.
He's just there to make shit sexy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't shoot him.
He's just trying to help Danny Glover be too old for this shit.
Exactly.
Do not shoot the saxophonist.
Yep.
I'm going to recommend another period piece gangster film. Unfortunately, Stallone is not in this one. I feel very guilty about this.
Adrian.
It is Road to Perdition. This is a Tom Hanks movie. This is Sam Mendes directing.
He's like fresh off of American Beauty.
Yeah, this is shortly after American Beauty. This is Paul Newman, I believe, his last movie.
Yeah, it is. It's his last movie.
Yeah, and this is it's a gangster movie, but it's really a movie about fathers and sons. And it's all about Tom Hanks' son wants to be like his father, who's basically a hitman for the mob. And Tom Hanks doesn't want that life for him because that's a pretty hard life to live. And it's all about him trying to get him out of that situation. And
yeah, he witnesses like Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig, somebody, who plays the son of Paul Newman, ends up like getting. Then, he wants Tom Hanks out of the way because like he's like the son that he feels like.
Tom Hanks is like Paul Newman's son.
Paul Newman's real, Paul Newman's son that he actually respects, even though they're not related, and he's the actual blood son, and he doesn't feel respected and all that stuff. And anyways. It's classic gangster stuff. It's beautifully, beautifully shot. It won the Oscar for best cinematography, rightfully so. It's one of my favorite from a cinematic standpoint, from a cinematography standpoint. It's one of my favorite films of all time. It's absolutely gorgeous. And Tom Hanks is great. And when he has a mustache, he's just like your dad.
He's playing all of our dads.
And so, spoiler alert, when the thing that happens at the end happens, a little tear in your eye.
No!
Jude Law.
Yeah, that's right. Jude Law plays the assassin in it.
Jude Law's like the crazy assassin. Yeah.
Great cast. Great movie. So that's the end of the podcast. That's the end of the recommendations. We're going to be back next week with Star Trek numero 3, a.k.a. The Search for
the
Spock.
The Search for Spock. Spoiler alert, Spock dies in part 2.
Spock dies in part 2.
Yeah. Khan kills Spock.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert to a 30-year-old movie.
Yeah, exactly. And then part 3, they go searching for Spock.
Yeah, they go searching for him on Genesis. And we'll talk all about it. Anyways, this little, Trekkies will be all over that shit. And probably all over us for our inaccuracies, because neither one of us are that big of a fan.
No, we are not big Trekkies.
That was an extremely accurate of a podcast episode.
I won't be referencing episode 3 of the original series and everything. But I will be talking a lot about it, because I actually do Tribbles. Like the Trek films quite a bit. And I'll be talking a lot about that movie, as we all will be next week. I want to thank Nerdy Nick for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks
definitely
for having me over.
Very awesome, man. Thanks.
Check
thank
out
you.
His YouTube channel. Again,
shame
that classic
him.
Game stuff. Shame him again. I expect
relentlessly
in a week.
I just want to fly.
In a week, when I go on to his channel, I expect every video to have at least 20 comments that just say Sugar Ray sucks.
Sugar Ray sucks.
So make that happen for us. Make Emma happy.
Please, yeah. God.
When I check my YouTube page every morning,
it's all just horrible, horrible anti-Sugar Ray
stuff. It's just Sugar Ray. Yeah. Or tweet at Sugar Ray. Let him know he has a huge, or not him, them.
Yeah, no, that's one man.
Yeah.
Sugar Ray is one man. His first name was Sugar.
Last name Ray. Just like Pink Floyd. And
just like, exactly. Like Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Jethro Tull.
Franz Ferdinand,
yeah.
All one guy.
So definitely comment on his page and let him know how you feel about Sugar
Nick's
Ray.
Freaking out. He's like, that's not
and
true.
I guess
that's
games.
Not true at all.
No.
There are multiple people in that bed. Yeah.
I guess you could also let him know how you feel about those classic video games.
Not enough
role-playing games on your list for my taste.
Not yet. That's my jam.
I am extremely
inconsistent with when I post videos, and that's because I have two kids, both under the age of 9. One is 8.
Now, here's the important part. Are you playing Sugar Ray for them?
You know,
I'll pass that disease on. Stop
that the is cycle. That is a ancient Chinese secret, and we will see what happens in the next 10 years.
So check out Nerdy Nick on YouTube, and definitely if you're not already, what are you doing? You gotta subscribe to our podcast. You gotta share this with your friends. Share. Tell them all about this hilarious, dumb bullshit that we do on a weekly basis.
Best episode yet.
Fuck yeah.
Until next week, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
I'm Emma Peterson.
I'm Nerdy Nick Castro.
Thank you for listening, Blockheads. Good night.